Let's turn, please, to the book of Revelation again, and we'll read a verse, number 7. Chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. In Greek and in Hebrew, it is yes, and so be it. We're looking again for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are momentous events taking place in the world, and Walter Scott said, we're not to look for signs, but we look at signs. Events are taking place that we really cannot understand. I was impressed in hearing a news broadcast, and Mr. Gorbachev came out from a meeting with his ministers and the media waiting for him outside. I didn't get the question, but his answer was, only Jesus Christ could feed 5,000 with 5 loaves, and only Jesus Christ can solve our problems. And thank God we're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps God is speaking to the world, maybe for the last time, and opening up the doors in Russia for the preaching of the gospel. And curtains are being broken down, communism is being destroyed, and we know that what is being said, that there will not be a new world order by man. The new world order will be brought about by the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think God intends us to be intelligent regarding his program. And we were taught when we were young that we should know the sevens of Scripture. For instance, the 7 dispensations. And I think young people should be aware of the 7 dispensations in the Scripture, having a panoramic view of God's dealings from the beginning until the end of time, from Genesis to the book of Revelation. We have in those 7 dispensations innocence, conscience, promise, government, promise, the dispensation of law, the church period, a parenthetical period in the Word of God and in the history of man, and then the millennial age, the 7th dispensation. And we're almost, perhaps we're on the very verge of that great day when the Lord Jesus will return, because this great event was proclaimed in the book of Genesis. The seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. And we're looking for that time when the Lord will come and Satan will be dealt with. He will be imprisoned for 1,000 years and cast eventually into the lake of fire forever. It was predicted by Noah, or by Enoch. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7 goes beyond the church age till the time when the Lord Jesus will come and every eye will see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. So we need to be intelligent. We're going to come to that regarding the stages of the Lord's coming. It's going to take place in 2 stages. The one word is used, parousia, his coming, and his subsequent stay. So the Lord will come first for the church. And then after a period, perhaps at least 7 years, the Lord will come with his saints to execute judgment and to set up his kingdom on earth. Then we should be well acquainted with the 7 parables in Matthew 13. From the ministry of Christ until the end of the age. So here we have kingdom history, a kingdom in mystery form. Now we're not going to go into that either. That's a very big subject. And then the seven churches. We've got church history in the book of Revelation. Chapters 2 and chapters 3. Church history from Ephesus to Laodicea. And that is all already taken place. As someone has said, history produces all that prophecy promises. History produces all that prophecy promises. So we find that certain things have already been fulfilled. We find that Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea are running together. If we think of Sardis as Protestantism, if we think of Thyatira as Catholicism, as we think of Philadelphia as Philadelphians, now we wouldn't say they're Philadelphian churches, but they're Philadelphians in every church, every assembly. And then Laodicea, that lukewarm condition. And this is what the age that we're living in presently. Lukewarm conditions, neither hot nor cold. The Lord is ready to execute judgment upon the professing church. And then we have the seventh beast in Leviticus 23. And that is a very, very profitable study for young people. The seven dispensations, the seven parables, Matthew 13, the seven churches, the book of Revelation, and the seven feasts of Jehovah in the book of Leviticus chapter 23. So in Leviticus 23, we have God's calendar. And those seven feasts are the Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, the Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost. And then we have the trumpets, we have the atonement, and the tabernacles. In the Passover, we have redemption. In the first priest, we have resurrection to make a sickle. We're not going into Leviticus 23 today. And then we have the reception of the Spirit of God, 50 days after the resurrection, after the first fruits. There was the gathering in of the harvest and the Feast of Weeks, which speaks of the coming of the Spirit fulfilled in Acts chapter 2 when the Spirit of God came. And then we have a gap. I want you to be intelligent, I'm sure most of you are, regarding the gap, the grace of the gap, a dispensational gap, a period in which the Lord is gathering out from the nations a people for the church. Israel set aside. Four feasts have already been fulfilled. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost. Verse 22 of Leviticus chapter 23, there's an ingathering of the harvest, the gleanings, the poor. And that's what we feel is in that gap, is the time when the church is being formed and prophetic utterance there would be regarding this gap period in which we live. So we have redemption, resurrection, the reception of the Spirit, and then the return of the Lord, and then the atonement, and then rest for Israel during the great millennial period for 1,000 years. So there are three great events then in the history of Israel, when they came together thrice every year, and they came together to the place where the Lord had placed his name to celebrate the Passover in June, to celebrate the Feast of Weeks, or Passover in April, to celebrate the Feast of Weeks in June, to celebrate the Tabernacles in the month of October. Passover, it is deliverance from Egyptian bondage. Pentecost, the completed harvest of the ground, and Tabernacles, there was a remembrance of the sojourn in the wilderness. Now, isn't it interesting that the Lord honored the Passover by his death. Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. The Father honored the first fruits by raising the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Christ, the first fruits, has been raised from the dead. And then the Spirit of God, at Pentecost, he honored the Feast of Weeks by his descent. 50 days, according to the prophetic scripture, the Spirit of God came and the disciples were waiting, the apostles were waiting on the day of Pentecost for the fulfillment of the promise, and the Spirit of God came and the church was formed. So four feasts have been exactly fulfilled. And then there's a long space, a long gap. And that's the period which we find ourselves today. And whenever the church is taken home to heaven, then prophecy will again be fulfilled regarding Israel. Now, if we were to read our New Testament properly, if we read to read Matthew 24, I was going to read that, I wouldn't have time, and we read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we read of the trumpet. In chapter 24 of Matthew, the trumpet is for the regathering of Israel. Don't bring the church into Matthew 24. The Son of Man is mentioned 6 times in that chapter, and the church is related to the Son of God, not the Son of Man. We are a heavenly people. The Son of Man is his title in relation to earth. And the Son of Man is coming, and is coming to set up his kingdom. Before him shall be gathered all nations, and he will sit upon the throne of his glory. By the light of New Testament revelation, we can see what is happening in the gap. Now, there are very interesting scriptures that we find speaking of the gap. For instance, in Daniel chapter 9, we have the 69th and the 70th week. Between the 69th and the 70th week, there's a gap, a period. The Lord Jesus Christ was put to death after 62 weeks, 490 years. I'm not sure if it's 483 years. After the promise, the rebuilding of Jerusalem. And then there's a gap period, and in the 69th week, God is going to deal with Israel with their transgression, with their sin, and it's going to be a reign of everlasting righteousness. In Isaiah 61, is a prophecy regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Spirit of God would be upon him, and he would proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of judgment of our God. Now the Lord Jesus, in Luke chapter 4, he read that passage, but he closed the book when he quoted these words, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and he inserted a period instead of a comma. A comma changed into a period, because he didn't say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He couldn't have said that if he quoted the whole scripture, because the day of judgment of our God, the book will be opened again in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, when the books will be opened and judgment will be executed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So in his first coming, it was to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. His second coming was to execute judgment and to set up this glorious kingdom on earth. There is one scripture in the Old Testament, I believe there may be others, that give us the present position of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 110. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. So the Lord Jesus is expecting until his enemies be made his footstool. He's seated in heaven at God's right hand, a priest after the order of Melchizedek, and it's until sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. So we have the present position of the Lord Jesus mentioned in that particular scripture. Ephesians chapter 3 is another place where we get a gap. It has been said that Ephesians 3 is a literary parenthesis to describe a dispensational parenthesis. Paul inserts in chapter 3 God's purposes regarding the church, the secret that was hidden God. It was hidden from Daniel. He didn't understand the gap, what was going to take place in the period in which we live, the church period, from Pentecost until the Lord's coming. Moses didn't understand it. David, no doubt, didn't understand the meaning of Psalm 110 when he wrote that. He was the writer. Isaiah didn't understand when he penned those words in Isaiah chapter 61 that there would be a gap between the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of judgment of our God. In chapter 9 of Daniel, Daniel prayed regarding three things, at least. His prayer was a prayer of confession for his own sin and the sin of his people. But he prayed regarding thy people, thy city, and thy sanctuary. He prayed regarding Israel. He prayed regarding Jerusalem. And he prayed regarding the sanctuary. If we turn to the New Testament, Romans chapter 11, for instance, we read these words. Blindness in part is happened unto Israel until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Until. Blindness in part is happened unto Israel until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And that goes beyond the church age. It goes to the tribulation period after the church is taken away, when the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled, and blindness in part. So there is a future for Israel. We're very thankful to the Lord that there is a future for Israel. The promises made to Abraham will be fulfilled. Romans chapter 11 makes it very clear that they will be brought in the ground not of responsibility, but they will be brought in the grounds of mercy. They forfeited their right to the inheritance when they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. But those promises made to Abraham are irrevocable, and those promises will be fulfilled when the Lord Jesus returns. And no wonder the apostle says, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. The ruin of Israel we see today, but we see the restoration of Israel in Romans chapter 11. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 24, the city. The Lord said, Jerusalem will be trodden down of the Gentiles. I did read that. Blindness in part is happening unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, someone should have corrected me on that. The fullness of the Gentiles in Romans chapter 11, but the times of the Gentiles in Luke chapter 21. There is a difference. The fullness of the Gentiles is when every redeemed soul will be brought into the church and the Lord comes. That will be the fullness of the Gentiles. So, the blindness in part has happened unto Israel until, not to the end of the tribulation, but till the rapture of the church. After the church is taken home, Israel will once again be enlightened, and that remnant will recognize in Jesus their Messiah. But the times of the Gentiles in Luke chapter 21, Jerusalem will be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles. That will be to the end of the tribulation. And then thy sanctuary, Luke 13, and verse 35, I want you to think of the word until. Your house will be left unto you desolate until the time you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So you'll see the gap now. Israel set aside until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, until the 10 times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, until the time that they say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So Israel is going to be regathered. There's going to be the Feast of Trumpets. The trumpet's going to sound, but it has a double meaning. The trumpet will sound for the church, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And the trumpet will sound for Israel in Isaiah 27 and Matthew chapter 24. Israel is a scattered people today. Israel is a sinful people today. Israel is a sorrowful people today. As a scattered people, they need to be regathered. And God will regather his people. As we read in Matthew chapter 24, they'll be gathered from the four corners of the earth. What a blessed time it will be when Israel once again will recognize their Messiah, and they will be gathered once again to their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Israel is a sinful people. That's why they need atonement. They need to be cleansed. And Israel will be a cleansed people when the Lord comes, and the work of Calvary will be applied to every believing Israelite on that day. Then the tabernacles would tell us that Israel, a sorrowful people, they will be comforted in the kingdom, the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they'll be a joyful people rejoicing in the presence of the Lord at his coming. Now I'm sure most are aware of the two stages of the coming. The first stage, the Son of God will come at the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He'll come to the air. But the Son of Man will come at the revelation. The Son of Man will come to the earth with his saints. He's coming first for his saints. And then he will come with his saints. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And then he will come to reward his saints. Revelation chapter 2. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. But when he comes again as Son of Man, in the second stage, it will be to punish his enemies, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first time he will come to receive his bride, and the second time he will come to receive a throne. They gave him a cross at the first coming, but he will receive a throne at his second coming. He will come to glorify his saints, the first coming, and he's going to come to be glorified in them, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. The first coming will be secret. The Lord will come to the air, and every believer will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 tells us the person who is coming. It's the Lord, our deliverer, the Son of God. We're looking for his Son from heaven, our deliverer from the coming wrath. So that would indicate that the church would not go through the tribulation. Before the storm breaks, the shepherd will take the sheep to safety. And we're looking for the deliverer. It's a noun there. It's not so much deliverance from a judgment, but at the cross, not looking back, it's looking forward. It's looking for a person who is our deliverer from the coming wrath. In chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians says, God has not appointed us to the wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. There will be a prize in his coming. Chapter 2. Paul says that the Thessalonians, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming. Ye are our glory and our joy and our crown. Chapter 3, purity will be manifested at His coming. It will be manifested then, what God has been doing in our lives now. It will be manifested in that coming day when the Lord will come and be in the presence of all His saints. I see perhaps two meanings in that chapter 3. It may have the idea of being with the Lord at the supper, maybe have to do with the manifestation, but anyway, the Lord will be with His saints during that tribulation period and during the time of the Bema, and later on when He comes in manifestation, He will come with His saints. The people affected by His coming, the dead in Christ and the living, will be changed. And then chapter 5, we learn that our whole personality will be affected by His coming. Paul prays to the God of priests, the God of peace, sanctify you wholly, your whole spirit, soul, and body, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We do not know when He will come. We cannot set a date. It's a secret. But until He comes, in Luke chapter 13, I think it is, we're told to be witnessing, to be watching, to be waiting, and to be working until He comes. For you know not the hour when the Lord will return. Behold, He said, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. So blessed are all those who are watching and waiting.